Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Literacy Advocate. I'm your host, Timmy Bauer, and my guest today is Krista Lay. She is an educational consultant working primarily with administrators, helping them to create sustainable SEL systems. She has about 22 years in education. She used to be a social studies high school teacher and an ed tech and curriculum specialist. She's currently working on her doctorate in educational leadership from Lehigh University, and she is an ASCD emerging leader. Krista, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm incredibly pleased to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you. We're going to be talking about something that I've been thinking about a bit. And when we talked last, I shared with you my concerns, and I thought it would make a good episode to talk about. So, and I haven't heard anybody say these concerns. And to me, it kind of seems obvious. So let me just out with it. So my concern is in education, we tend to assess the things that we set standards for. And it becomes a problem because we set standards and then we make assessments that are supposed to drive those standards. But we make those assessments all about those matching those standards. And then we just assess and we over-assess and we go, we need more data. We need more assessments. And now we start teaching to those assessments. And it is, in my opinion, this vicious cycle. And I am looking at what's happening with SEL. There's this huge push towards SEL. And now we're setting standards for SEL. So why are we not just heading down, creating another monster? Well, this is my concern. I wanted to hear your thoughts on it.
Oh, okay. So I'm from Pennsylvania, and a number of years ago, we had social emotional learning standards. We were one of the only states in the country that had them. And I was overjoyed because I felt like it gave it more validity that we had to focus on this because there was a set of standards around it. And it wasn't something that people could just push away and shove or say, oh, we kind of do that. And so I really appreciated that it put a spotlight on it because, like you said, when something has a set of standards, there's more emphasis there. As a side note, it's one of the other reasons why I would never want there to be a social studies test or exam, but I'm always like, oh, that's what got cut to make way for the tested subjects. When it comes to SEL though, there has been a trend in people recognizing it, even though it's been around for thousands of years, but I do share your concerns. And in fact, I've actually moved from calling them standards to calling them learning targets.
Okay.
Because now that I'm working with districts more frequently, and by the way, the learning targets are not where we start. It's about modeling it. It's about being authentic and transparent with how we are, as adults, are growing in SEL. And it's about the environment and social interactions. But I don't want to see it go the route of tests because social emotional learning is incredibly difficult to be able to collect reliable, valid data on to be able to move forward.
Oh, but watch, they're going to be like, oh no, we can collect that data. We just need them to take these tests.
Yeah. So you know what, in some of the districts that I've worked with, they've shown me like, oh, we're looking at buying this program. And I was just talking to an administrator today about that. And I looked at the program and it was teachers evaluating students on these learning targets. And then it gave the students a circle that said if they were proficient in green and at risk in red, and everything in my body was like, no, we're labeling students, which I disagree with. And we're supposed to be learning this. It doesn't mean you're at risk because good Lord, if I'm having a bad day, people might label me at risk too as a 43-year-old. I wouldn't want that.
Yeah. To me, it just seems obvious. If we look at human behavior, this is the way it goes. So what do we need to do to actively make sure that it doesn't go that way? I mean, we already need to be, breaking our heads against the problem of how do we stop this from happening in the subjects that it has happened in? How do we reverse it? But this is the direction that things go. So how do we keep that from happening with SEL?
I think that we need courageous administrators, teachers, staff to stand up and say, we're not doing this. And whatever you want to leverage with us, which I know the state tests right now are leveraging money, right? Federal money, state money. We need to draw a line and say, this is what we stand for and this isn't right. I know that that's easier said than done, but we need to collectively come together and say, yes, social emotional learning is important. Yes, we want to be able to see our growth and know that we have learning targets, but we also need to leave some room for people to be human, to make mistakes, and then we work with them to learn and grow. I don't think it needs to be something that is put into a database and reported on report cards. I think that the students need to have more say in it. They need to have an understanding of why it's important and get to be familiar with the language. I think that families need to be a part of just learning about this. I don't think it needs to be as formalized as what we've done with those other subject areas.
Why do you think it's so important that schools have SEL learning targets? And what are some good examples of some SEL learning targets?
Have you watched the news lately? I'm sorry. I don't mean to be flip, but we turn on the television, we turn on the radio, we see politicians. I can't get away from it. It's like a train wreck. I'm like, yeah.
I have a belief about the news that it is not it, the motivation behind the news is not to inform. That is the stated goal. That is underlying not their incentive structure. Their incentive structure is to incite either anger, sadness, frustration, some emotion that has a high likelihood of going viral. That is their motivation. It is not to inform. Now, we got to be informed citizens as people. But my preferred way to do that is not going to be to watch the news and just go, yes, organization whose entire incentive structure is to fill me with negative emotions. Yes, please. I am an open vessel.
Thank you. Because more people need to think that way. And we do need to be more discerning. And actually that's part of social emotional learning, what we're describing here. So in SEL, there's 5 different competencies. And as a former social studies teacher, when I'm working with students or with teachers on research, you need to be careful about what you're looking at. And there are some news. There's an Advantis media bias chart. It's in its 6th iteration. And it tells you what news TV stations, what radio shows, what media magazines are giving you something that's more centrist versus left or right, and what just reports facts versus having experts versus having opinions versus clickbait. And I know everybody can't see my hands going down as I'm moving away from but I cut all of the crap out, and that's not where I go for my news anymore. So again, I think we need to build those skills in ourselves to not just accept what other people feed to us, but to know how to really reason and pull apart and make responsible ethical decisions that not just benefit us, but benefit the community as well.
So I'm coming at this. I'm not a teacher. I studied to be a teacher. I didn't end up deciding to be one. I became a kids book author instead. So there's a strong connection between SEL and sort of like emotional resilience against things that would want to fill you with negativity. Okay. But what are the other goals of when we think about setting SEL targets? Like, what are we trying to do?
Yeah. I love that you just said that. You're like, if you could see me, I'm like lighting up and bouncing. So there are 5 different parts. And the first is social. The first 2 are intrapersonal pieces. So we're looking at self-awareness, and that's around, do you recognize and can you name your own emotions? Do you understand self-efficacy and what your strengths are? And do you have a growth mindset? But CASEL, Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, just redefined SEL, and they incorporated more pieces around diversity, equity, inclusion, and access. So self-awareness is also knowing what your identity is, cultural, linguistic, socioeconomic, racial, ethnic. It's looking at how you've been socialized to think what is right or wrong and how you live your life. And it's uncovering those biases and prejudices you might have and how they influence how you interact with people. The next one is self-management. So it's most people think about, it's identifying where my stress points are and how to manage my stress and also how to control any of my emotions. But it's also about goal setting, knowing what your passions are, what your talents are, and knowing how to set a goal and work towards those. I feel you have to really work on those 2 pieces, and then it will help you in the other 2, which are the interpersonal pieces. So we've got social awareness. Do you have empathy, compassion? Do you recognize that other people are who they are because of their cultural backgrounds? there is definitely a focus too on systems, and that we're all part of a system, and systems are meant to get certain outcomes. So how do we influence a system? And how do the systems influence other people? And then we've got relationship skills, which is often about building relationships, communication, collaboration, teamwork, but it's also about how do you maintain that? So how do we help people move through conflict? Conflict, because conflict is not a bad thing. It just helps us move forward. And then the last piece is responsible decision-making. So looking at what are my decisions and thinking through them before you take action. And then after you've taken those actions, reflecting back on them, deciding if it was the right thing to do to benefit everybody. And it's not just making caring decisions, but ethical decisions as well. Not just what benefits you, but benefits the good of the greater community. Hmm. And if we look at all of those pieces, then there are some learning targets for each grade level, and they go from kindergarten to 12th grade, and they increase in complexity, right? So it's learning a little bit more deeply about who you are and other people and how to interact with other people so that you can learn and grow together.
Nice, nice. Krista, I actually have one other question for you, and it's a very selfish question. So it's a very selfish question. Later on today, and by the time this podcast airs, it will have already happened. I'm going to be giving a talk on classroom podcasting. So it's going to be me and a teacher, and we're just going to talk like, how do you set up a classroom podcast, and then like what you can use it for. If somebody were to handle everything for you, let's say you're a classroom teacher, somebody's handled everything for you. They've given you the equipment, they set it up for you. How, in your imagination, I'm really putting you on the spot here, how would you use a classroom podcast to help you achieve SEL targets?
Oh, that's an awesome question. I would want to, in my brain, I would ask students, I would put students in the groups because they need to work collaboratively, but I would have them think about, what are all the different roles that are necessary to have a podcast be successful? And what are their strengths so that they can think about what they're bringing to that group to help that podcast be successful? Maybe somebody wants to start writing some scripts or writing the questions, and somebody else wants to speak, and somebody else wants to make sure that the tech end is going well, or somebody else wants to work on splicing it just in case something gets messed up. I would also want to have students be in groups with at least one other person that they can work well with. I used to do this as a classroom teacher, and I would try to put into groups with people that could help you learn and grow, but then somebody you're comfortable with as well.
Got it.
So I would want them to think about who they were and what they're bringing to the table, but then also encouraging them to learn about each other so that they could work together to achieve that goal of the classroom podcast.
Awesome. Cool. That was a very selfish question. Thank you for answering it.
You did do so.
What do you think is going to be the future of SEL, the role of SEL in education? Like, where do you think this is going?
I hope that it's just going to be something we do all the time. It's an integral piece, not this whole new piece of like, what is SEL? And people will realize that it's not one more thing, that they've already been doing this, but let's just be more explicit about it. Let's make that part of the language that the students have. Let's model for them how to have effective communication where we can disagree with one another and still move forward, as long as people are not being disrespected and dishonored and are not being put down. And so I hope that, and it can be integrated into every content area and every grade level. And so it just becomes part of who we are and what we do, and not thought of like, oh, I have to do this extra program or this extra thing.
Hmm. Awesome. Krista, how can listeners connect with you?
The best way would be through my website or email. It's www.residenceed.com or Krista@residenceed.com.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. It was a pleasure.